Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question at PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor, S-T-E-V-E-N, D-B-C, at gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to be looking at three Bible-related questions, so grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now, for our first question, Pastor, can you help me understand Deuteronomy 18:15? Who is the prophet referred to since there were many prophets after this? So again, the question is regarding Deuteronomy chapter 18 in verse 15. And the question is, who is the prophet that is referred to? Because after the book of Deuteronomy all the way until the end of the Old Testament, there are a variety of prophets. So the question is, which of the prophets or prophet is being referred to here? So as we look to answer this question, of course, as the question indicates, there were many prophets who would come after this until the end of the Old Testament period. Of course, you have what we would think of as the major prophets, the writing prophets, in other words, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and such, the minor prophets, and then even the, as I like to think of them, the non-writing prophets. So for example, Elijah and such. So if you have your Bibles and you look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, the first thing to note is, of course, the time period. The Israelites are right near the promised land. They're about to enter into it, if you will. Of course, Moses is not going to be the one who ultimately brings them into the promised land, but that's sort of the proximity of time here. So in Deuteronomy 18:15, there is this verse, and it's looking future from the time period of Moses, if you will, pre-getting into the promised land. And it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, and you shall listen to him." And the rest of the chapter deals with that particular prophet in more detail. But the question, of course, is who is this individual that the Lord will raise up? Now, of course, to answer this question, of course, just looking at the verse, you'll see that the prophet will be like Moses. He will be a Jew. He will be an Israelite, in other words. And when he comes, they need to pay attention to him. Now, if we take our Bibles now, having gotten the basic context there, and we turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. This is the beginning period of the ministry of John the Baptist, the testimony of John. And in verse 25 of John 1, the Pharisees ask him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ or the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" So again, in John chapter 1 and verse 25, the Pharisees are wondering, okay, why are you baptizing? I mean, if you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elijah, nor the prophet. So again, you have to pay attention to the wording there, because they're not looking for a prophet, but the prophet. Said another way, the Israelites were looking for, of course, a Messiah, as we would think of it, Christ, as we later come to call it. But one of the criteria was a prophet-like figure. And you can see this as well in John as well, John 6:14. There in John 6:14, we probably are familiar with that passage and that chapter. That is the feeding of the 5,000, and then Jesus walks on water. But in John chapter 6, verse 14, It says, therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, that sign meaning the feeding of the 5,000, they said, this is truly the prophet who is to come in the world. So again, you notice the language there. It's not simply prophet, although, of course, that's important. It's the prophet. It's an emphatic. It's a specific prophet that was destined to come into the world. So we see the two examples there in John's gospel related to the ministry of Jesus, with John the Baptist mentioning it, as well as the reference there to the people after the feeding of the 5,000. You'll also see an example of this, and in fact, it's a direct quotation from the Old Testament, and it's in the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and this covers verses 22 through 26, but we're only going to pay attention just for the question, verse 22. This is Peter's second sermon, so obviously we are in the early days of the church, and we have Peter here giving another sermon, in fact, his second one recorded. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, it says in his sermon, quote, Moses said, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, to whom you shall give heed to everything he has to say to you. So what Peter's doing here is looking back to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, which is where the question comes from originally, who is the prophet? And Peter looks back and explains to the people, look, in Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses was telling you that there would be a prophet to come. And of course, Peter is looking to Jesus as the one in which they were to look to. So again, you have the reference there in John 1:25, John 6:14. But then after the resurrection, the early days of the church, Peter there in his second sermon makes a reference, and it's a direct citation, a direct quote from the Old Testament that we saw in Deuteronomy 18:15. Now, one last thing that I think is helpful with this question, when you read Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses says that the figure that comes, the prophet, will be like him. So, of course, that doesn't mean they will be identical, but there will be similarities. And Jesus and Moses had various similarities. I'm going to read to you. I think this is helpful here. And it's a book by Harold Smith, The Biblical Answers to Man's Questions. And he writes regarding the similarities of Jesus and Moses. Again, they are not one-to-ones, but a likeness, similarities. Smith writes, Christ was similar to Moses in his birth. Pharaoh tried to kill Moses when he was born, just as Herod tried to kill Christ when he was a child. See Matthew chapter 2. Moses was hated of his brethren at first, and so was Christ. Moses was the savior of God's people out of Egypt, and Christ is the savior of all who trust in him. So that's a good way there, Harold Smith, summarizing this idea. And so the reference in Deuteronomy 18:15, so while, as the question asks, there are various prophets who would come after Moses, but the Israelites were looking for a specific one who would meet specific criteria and would be like Moses. And as we see in the Gospels, in particular John, and then later in the book of Acts with Peter, we see in fact that the prophet and the answer to the question is Jesus. So Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of this. And of course, we see in the sense of that he had a lot of the similarities to Moses. And I like to think of, when we think of Jesus, we think of him sometimes in terms of offices that he holds, prophet, priest, and king. So hopefully that helps you answer that question on Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. Now, for our trivia question for this episode, this question is a true or false question. Did Delilah cut off Samson's hair? So again, true or false, did Delilah cut off Samson's hair? Now, in order to answer the trivia question, we'll need to turn to the book of Judges. And in particular, we'll be looking at chapter 16 and verse 19. Now, as we know, the book of Judges, there were various judges that the Lord would raise up. You have the idea of a cycle. In other words, the people would cry out to God. God would send a deliverer. The deliverer would come and deliver his people, but ultimately they would return back to their sin. They would have oppression. They would call out for a deliverer. So it kind of goes in a cycle. And Samson is one of those that God raises up, and he had quite a lot of strength. He was known to be very strong, powerful, but he also had an issue with temptation, and one of his weaknesses was temptation. But you'll notice with Delilah in verses 15 through 17, what we see there is that Delilah says to Samson, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is." In other words, where does it come from? Of course, she's trying to find that out for nefarious reasons. But then if you notice in verse 17, "So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, 'A razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like other man.'" So what you see is, of course, the backdrop to getting the question answered. And so Delilah eventually, once Samson goes to sleep, goes about cutting off the locks of his hair. In other words, she has his head shaved. So the question was, did Delilah do this? Yes or no? True or false? Well, the answer to the question is in verse 19 of Judges 16. "She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his hair." And so you see the answer to the question would be, of course, false. She did not actually cut them off herself, but rather, as you see there, she called for a man. At least he's unknown in this particular verse here. And he actually took and shaved off and removed all of Samson's hair. And so the answer to the question, did Delilah cut off Samson's hair? The answer would be false, because a man came and actually did it. Now for our third and final question for this episode, Pastor, what is Jesus referring to in Luke 24 in verse 49? In other words, what clothing is he specifically talking about? So let me read the question again. What is Jesus referring to in Luke 24, 49? And specifically, what clothing is he referring to? So in order to answer the question in Luke 24, verse 49, we're going to read the verse in a second, but I think it will be helpful to understand the basics of where we're at. Of course, it's at the end of the Gospel of Luke, but specifically, Jesus has been crucified, he has been resurrected, and in short, we're in the period of where he gives various appearances over a period of 40 days. We have the resurrection, followed by Jesus giving 40 days worth of various appearances to his resurrection, followed by the ascension. And you can see that as in Luke 24, verse 50, which is the ascension description there. So let's read now, having said all that, this is during that period where he's giving witness that he has risen from the dead. In Luke 24 and verse 49, it says, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So we go back to the question, what is Jesus referring to here specifically regarding the clothing? So read it again. You are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. Now, you'll notice again in verse 50, as I said, the sequence is in verse 50 through 53. You have the summary there of the ascension. And so what's happening here is that Jesus is referring to a promise that the Father would send. Now, this promise in particular is in the upper room discourse. You say, where's that? What is that? Well, the upper room discourse covers John 13 through John 16. And throughout there, Jesus was reminding his disciples to not be troubled. Yes, he would be leaving them, but it was actually to their advantage that he leave, because God would then send the coming of the Holy Spirit. So, for example, you see that in John 14 and verse 26. And so what is being referred to here is something about being clothed with power that comes from on high. So there's power that comes from on high, and that's referring again to the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so clothed with power, this is a description. You could refer to it as an illustration for the Holy Spirit. The disciples were to wait until the Holy Spirit came because it would give them the needed power to do what they otherwise could not on their own. And if you were to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, in verse 12 and read, you'll see eventually that after they gather, there's a period of waiting. And then, of course, in Acts chapter 2, you have the coming of the Holy Spirit in a very special and unique way. Of course, the Holy Spirit has always been present. It's just that at Pentecost, it would come and it would indwell in a believer. It would be the believer's guarantee, seal, and such, those types of things we see later on in Paul's writings in Ephesians. And so what we're looking at here is, again, let's go back to Luke 24 and verse 49. He says that they needed to wait in the city, meaning Jerusalem, and not go forward with what he has asked them or tasked them to do until they receive the promise that would come from the Lord, meaning God the Father. And that promise was the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the clothing with power is an illustration, you might could say a type or title, in other words, for the Holy Spirit. And again, so we know in Acts chapter 2 that that actually comes. Now, it's worth noting then that, and I think this would be helpful, that there are various types or illustrations, descriptors. Some of these are titles, you might say, or names for the Holy Spirit. I like to think of titles and those sorts of things in Scripture, illustrations. Sometimes titles, they help better understand an individual. And of course, the Holy Spirit has other types or illustrations, titles, depending on how you want to use that phrase, of the Holy Spirit. So, of course, we see clothing, Luke 24, verse 49. Some other examples of this that might be helpful as well is he's also referred to as a dove. You think of, for example, in Luke 3, 22. He's also referred to as an earnest or guarantee. That was the Ephesians 1, 14 reference. He's also referred to as fire, Acts 2, 3. The seal, this is again what I was alluding to earlier, a seal, that's Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4:30. And of course, we also have it described as the wind in Acts 3:8. And so you see those various titles illustrations, the types, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. And those just help us give a better understanding. And so the clothing with power is basically just saying that the power that is needed for the disciples, that's needed for you and I today, is a power that we do not have ourselves. And so God clothes us, if you will, with his provision. And his provision in that sense is the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, hopefully that helps answer that question. So the reference is to the Holy Spirit who would come in a special way at Pentecost with great power. And he does, of course, in like manner today when we trust in Christ by faith alone. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a seal or guarantee until the day of redemption. But the Holy Spirit also gives us the power needed to do what we could not otherwise do ourselves. Well, that concludes today's episode. Be sure to tune in again next time. And until then, God bless.